1420 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the Middle East, where peace talks between Israel and Hamas have resumed in Cairo. After CBS News confirmed, the U.S. is withholding a shipment of weapons to Israel over fears the bombs could be used on the city of Rafah in southern Gaza. Reporter Yotam Confino is in Herzliya.
Israel seemed to downplay the holdup of arms from the United States, with IDF spokesperson Daniel Hagari saying any disagreements between the two allies will be resolved behind closed doors. President Biden has repeatedly asked Israel to hold off on its invasion of Rafah, warning about the threat to civilian lives.
Severe storms have once again battered parts of the Midwest. Tornadoes tore through Indiana, Ohio, and portions of Michigan, slamming the city of Portage near Kalamazoo not once but twice.
The house across my street from us, their garage is totally gone now. They are missing part of their roof. The house kitty corner from us has trees on top of it. My neighbor's house around the corner is almost completely destroyed.
No serious injuries reported. While Stormy Daniels was describing salacious details of an alleged tryst with former President Trump at his hush money trial in New York, the federal judge in Florida canceled a May 20th trial date in his classified documents case and postponed it indefinitely. Loyola Law's Jessica Levinson.
She said there's just a lot of evidentiary issues to sort out. And she is pointing to the fact that we're talking about some concerns about national security, and that does raise additional questions for any judge when they're overseeing a trial like this.
All is not lost for FTX customers. The company's bankruptcy lawyers say they'll be getting all of the money they invested before the crypto company went bust, plus interest. A drug maker is taking its COVID vaccine off the market. CBS's Matt Piper.
Earlier this year, AstraZeneca admitted its vaccine can, in rare cases, cause TTS, or thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome. It causes blood clots and low blood platelet counts. TTS has been linked to nearly 100 deaths in the UK and hundreds of serious injuries, with many suing. But the company says the timing and decision to withdraw its vaccine is pure coincidence.
New possible trouble for a Kansas City Chiefs player.
Mahomes on the snap, scanning, open for the touchdown, it's Rice.
Police tell the Dallas Morning News Rashi Rice is suspected of assault at a nightclub in Dallas early Monday morning. The victim reportedly went to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. No comment from Rice's attorneys. The wide receiver turned himself into police weeks ago in connection with a high-speed chain reaction crash. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tickets are on sale for new Amtrak service between the Twin Cities and Chicago. The trains will make 8 stops in Wisconsin. The second daily round-trip trains start running on the 21st. Coach fares start at $41 with discounts for students, seniors, and military personnel and their families. Another summer of wildfire smoke could be bad for your health. Travis Knudsen of the Lane Regional Air Protection Agency says small particles in wildfire smoke can cause itchy eyes, coughing, and short-term breathing problems.
If you are someone who already suffers from respiratory issues like you have asthma, it makes those acute symptoms that much more challenging and potentially problematic from a health perspective.
Today is World Asthma Day, and that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers win a thriller. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A 6-5 win in Kansas City over the Royals. Top of the ninth, the Crew down 5-3. The Royals fans daring Adames to be the hero. Brewers manager Pat Murphy after the win.
Willie is telling the fans he's going to do it. The group of fans right by the on-deck circle, Willie is announcing to them, if I get up there, we're going to take the lead. He's announcing it to them over and over, and they're playing back and forth to each other. Gary walks. He turns back to me. He goes, watch this. Bam.
You're being serious?
I'm being dead serious. That's what he did. It's Amazing. No, it was unbelievable. I watched this and I'm looking at Ricky and I'm looking back at him and he's carrying on with them during Gary's at bat. And he's telling them, and they're all Kansas City fans, and he's telling them, one more ball. It was a 3-0 pitch and then 3-1. And he goes, one more. And he turned back to him and he goes, here we go. Watch this. Went up there. Boom. I mean, it was like, did I just see that? It was a cool moment.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms developing by mid to late afternoon today. Our high near 74 with wind north at 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers will drop down to 46. Tomorrow, clouds and a few showers in the morning. Some sunshine by later afternoon with a high tomorrow near 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin joins us at 10:33. 11:33, public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, that's me. I better get the show started. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning, May the 8th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, beautiful for at least the first few feet, and then there's a lot of fog around Lake Wissota today, so I can't vouch for the rest of it, but I'm pretty sure it's beautiful, because it's always a beautiful day up here. Little extra standing water in some of the ditches and yards. We got quite a bit of rain here yesterday as that very big, long storm system moved across the state, but you won't hear any drought talk for a while. So we've got that to deal with, which is nice. I got a question for you. Would you like to win some Brewers tickets? Yeah, we're back in the business of giving away Brewers tickets. The Brewers have one more game in Kansas City this afternoon. Then they come home to a weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals. And starting tomorrow, we're going to give away tickets for games on Saturday and Sunday at American Family Field. And heads up, it's going to be a text to win contest. And so I would highly advise you to get the Civic Media app so that you can text us the appropriate information and be in the running to win Brewers tickets for this weekend. Regularly, if you want to call us or text us, the number is 855-75-CIVIC. We'd love to have your input during the day. We'd also be happy if you put up a comment on one of the Facebook pages where we put this fine radio program. In our first hour today, we're going to talk about why we can't have nice things. That's part of this week's climate check. We have to, I hope for the last time, deal with West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, BFF of the coal industry, who's now working to block some new, more climate-friendly rules about the pipelines, power lines, and oil wells of the future. And then closer to home, we review how the level of power that Wisconsin gets from renewable energy sources is below that of other states because of a legislature that basically is run by, shall we say, a Joe Manchin-esque majority. We'll also talk about how Republicans have weaponized the legislature's auditing committee for reasons that seem to be rooted in racial politics. In our second hour, our homeroom segment will include marking Teacher Appreciation Week, something that's always been a little bittersweet in a state that gave us Act 10 and the ongoing push to reduce the high standards we should set for our teachers. We'll also try to recap Tuesday's Trump trial testimony with as little of the ick factor as possible. In fact, before I get to that in the next hour, we're going to have to find maybe a cart that just goes, ew,
and try not to play that too many times as we talk about the Stormy Daniels testimony from yesterday. So all that, a presidential trip to Racine today, a vice presidential trip to Wisconsin coming up. Yes, another one of those is coming up as well. Melissa Kay, Todd Alba, Brittany Merlot, and even Greg Bach in just a matter of moments. But first, let me tell you about temperatures around the state at 6 o'clock. 46 degrees here in Chippewa Falls, 44 in Hayward, 44 in Park Falls, 45 in Wausau. Green Bay is at 55, La Crosse 52, Wisconsin Rapids 47, Oshkosh 54, Madison 46, and it is 45 degrees in Waukesha, where we find Greg Bach at the Shaw WAUK, the lovely studios in lovely downtown Waukesha. Mr. Bach, how are you? He approaches the microphone gently.
I'm doing
his words carefully.
Lovely. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Fine. Did we suddenly become one of those beautiful music stations and I just didn't get the memo?
You're listening to the river. Paddling down the music of your lives.
There aren't any more of those anymore, right? I mean, they were a staple of early FM radio, I mean, in the 70s and the 80s, every market had at least one beautiful music station, you know, elevator music, whatever you want to call it. A lot of Monovani and Rachmaninoff and, you know, but nothing like that anymore. And it always reminds me of the first episode of WKRP in Cincinnati, where, you know, Johnny Fever gets the okay to switch formats to rock and roll, and he takes the needle and he just scratches it across this easy listening record and then, you know, breaks it and announces the new rock and roll format. Fellow babies.
I know radio stations change formats regularly. Mm-hmm. Anyone ever change to a rock station anymore? I feel like I don't know.
I think they'd bounce back and forth because sometimes, you know, country is a bit more in vogue.
Yeah.
And some places go to country. Do any go to rock?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's a good question. It's rare. I wouldn't say never, but it's definitely rare. People go for whatever they think is going to be hot at that particular moment.
I also think of those like this one's going out to Pat and then 40 seconds of silence from Patrick. You know, it's like, it's always like, you're like, what song is going to play next? This is going to be amazing. And it's just like Lionel Richie.
Yeah. Yep. Same old, same old. It's just us. I was going to say, or you have a visionaries like at Civic Media that say, hey, why don't we bring back just some local and state talk?
Yeah.
Some conversation that isn't like fire breathing right wing and it isn't just canned, you know, automated music.
Yeah.
But if we actually talk about what's going on in our communities and in our state.
Absolutely. And it's, you know what? Honestly, it's great to hear from people that they listen to the show. But we had Todd Alba on Jane's show yesterday on Matt and Aaron Air, 10 a.m. to noon on Civic Media. And he said that people in Richland Center out in, like, you know, the rural areas listen to us. And that means a lot to me because I feel like those are the areas we've talked about before kind of get forgotten by politicians, by kind of everybody. And the fact that we can address something that they're listening to, they can connect with, that means so much to me.
Absolutely. I mean, you, from folks up here in the Chippewa Valley, outside the cities of Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, you know, who are listening, again, they've been stuck with the same one or two formats for years and years, and now they have a chance to call in or text in and talk yeah. about things that are on their mind. They can comment on, they're not just hearing one side of political arguments anymore, and so they can call in and weigh in on those matters. So yeah, I'm really glad to have this here. Not that we, you know, I mean, if Sage came in tomorrow and said, we're switching to beautiful music, I'd be very sad about that. But my next question would be, do we get the same paycheck? and then the mercenary in me would be like, okay, well, as long as you're paying me, I guess.
How much Yanni do we have to play?
Oh, God.
That's a reference, baby.
Yeah. All right. was starting to think that I might be a jinx on the Milwaukee Brewers because I'd sit down and sometimes I'd be like, you know, running errands or at dinner or whatever, and I'd catch like the second half of the game. And, you know, the Brewers were this close. They were one out away from like their first four-game losing streak of the season.
Yeah.
They were ahead when I'd sat down to watch it, and then Kansas City scored, what was it, three runs in the seventh or eighth to go ahead. And I thought, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the jinx. But no.
You're the problem. It's you.
Maybe. Hi. But no. Willy Adames to the rescue with two outs in the ninth inning. Did you see him talk about chatting up some of the Royals fans when here, let me give away the punchline. He hit a home run.
I pulled the clip of Pat Murphy talking about it.
Oh, you did?
If you want to listen to it, because he explains it beautifully.
Oh, let's hear him, and then if I have to fill in any blanks, I will, about Willy Adames' game-winning home run.
No, it was unbelievable. I watched this, and I'm looking at Ricky, and I'm looking back at him, and he's carrying on with him during Gary's at-bat, and he's telling them, and they're all Kansas City fans, and he's telling them, one more ball. It was a 3-0 pitch, and then 3-1. And he goes, one more, and he turned back to him, and he goes, here we go. Watch this. Went up there, boom. I mean, it was like, did I just see that? It was a cool moment.
Thanks to Mike Clemens for that.
He called his shot.
Yeah.
Willy Adames called the shot to Royals fans who were teasing him when he was in the on-deck circle. It was awesome.
Yeah.
That even after, as he finished his home run trot, he went over to them and kind of high-fived them through the netting. And they were so good about it. You love when opposing fans get that it's a game. And they know. They kind of did the mock hero worshiping, you know, we're not worthy thing to him. And it was great. It was just
That's going to be a story for them for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's how awesome baseball is.
It is. It's so good. And then the night before, you had a Brewers fan catch a home run ball in center field. And, I mean, he was so happy, even though he'd caught many home run balls before. But Sophia Minute interviewed him, you know, in the stands. You could see he was just so happy to be at a baseball game. You know, it was great. So the upshot here is that the Brewers beat the Royals 6-5. And they will play one more time this afternoon. You can catch the game at 12:35 on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Again, pregame starts at 12:35 today. And then the Brewers come home to play three games against the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend. And tomorrow, we will start to give away tickets to games on Saturday and Sunday at American Family Field, and you will need to get that Civic Media app downloaded, and we're going to do a little texting to find out who is going to be the winner of our tickets. All right, as mentioned, President Biden is coming to Racine, and when he does, according to a preview article in the New York Times, he's going to announce the creation of an artificial intelligence data center, highlighting one of his administration's biggest economic accomplishments, announcing it in a crucial battleground state. Biden will announce that Microsoft is going to invest more than $3 billion to build the center in the Racine area, which the tech giant estimates will create 2,300 union construction jobs and 2,000 permanent jobs. The project is part of Biden's Investing in America agenda, which is focused on bringing billions of private sector dollars into manufacturing and industries such as clean energy and artificial intelligence. It is Biden's fourth trip to Wisconsin this year. And already, Vice President Kamala Harris has announced an upcoming trip to Milwaukee, doing absolutely nothing that would look like taking Wisconsin for granted. In other news, the other candidate for president was in a courtroom listening to a porn star give testimony on an affair that they had many years ago and the hush money payments that he made to her. They're your choices, kids. We'll pause here. When we come back, we'll unpack more of the news live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Up North News Radio for a Wednesday morning. I'm Pat Wrightlum.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
The band is Chicago. The song is Harry Truman.
America needs you, Harry Truman. Harry, could you please come home?
Chicago put out this song during the Watergate era when, frankly, the nation felt like it had lost some of its innocence and could really use a decent man as president. And I have to tell you, that song got played a lot during the administration of the previous president here. And I play it today to tell you that Harry Truman, the 33rd president of the United States, was born 140 years ago today, this day in 1884. May is Military Appreciation Month, and you can learn all about it in today's edition of the Up North News Daily Newsletter, unabashedly Wisconsin news that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner there. Christina Laurie puts it together, and today she lists several ways to show your support for our military, from ways to volunteer to putting together care packages. And yes, care packages are still a thing where, you know, somebody who has decided to join the armed forces and serve their country and they are sent overseas, and they might be, you know, lonely. They're you know, still young adults getting to know the world. And to get something anonymous with some snacks, you know, maybe a note of appreciation, some little trinkets, can really lift spirits. And so you can learn more about that and more in our daily newsletter. Again, sign up over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And remember, you can join the conversation here this morning at 855-75-CIVIC. We've got Pam Yonke with the Midwest Farm Report coming up in just under 10 minutes, and then our climate check with Melissa Baldoff coming up immediately after that. I want to return to President Biden's trip to Racine today, because as I'm looking at the New York Times write-up on it, you'll notice that in the entire story that I mentioned leading into the last break, I never mentioned Foxconn, but all of this is happening on the grounds of what was supposed to be, according to Donald Trump at the time, the eighth wonder of the world. It was supposed to be a $10 billion factory for making LCD panels. And Trump and others promised 13,000 jobs. And billions of your tax dollars were going to go toward building this thing. There were red flags from the very beginning for myriad reasons. Foxconn had made promises in other communities and did not live up to them. But what really caught people's attention was that they announced that they were going to be these large LCD panel screens. And as much as we want to see manufacturing come back to the U.S. from overseas, there are some products that would work for better than others. And experts just did not see how the cost would work trying to build these big LCD screens here in the U.S. as opposed to where they were built overseas. And so that and other factors led people to say, is this thing going to be for real? And there were delays and there were, you know, promises that were unkept, hiring and construction that were slower than expected. And it became quite clear that this project was not going to be what was promised, which is really too bad, because there is something there. There is a Foxconn there. There are jobs there. just not nearly as many as what they promised. And so as a result, the whole Foxconn project has a black eye because of the rush by Trump and Republicans to embrace something without properly vetting it. And so Foxconn is now more like a punchline in many circles. But a lot of people did not give up on the site and did not give up on the potential of the Wisconsin workforce. And that's what's leading Microsoft to put this data center on the site, where now they have some of the land, not Foxconn anymore. And they will be able to do, you know, what I outlined in the last segment here in terms of the job creation and the work that they're doing on artificial intelligence. The company also says that they're going to work with Gateway Technical College to develop a data center academy that will train 1,000 workers across the state for data center and science and technology roles by 2030. The company also said it would expand its Girls in STEM program to 2 additional middle schools. Now, again, this is something that Foxconn said they were going to do. Remember, they had opened up and had ribbon cuttings in several different locations. I know Eau Claire was one of them. And they said these are going to be the local academies to, you know, again, train the workers of the future. And folks said, okay. And then we waited and waited, and nothing was coming of it. Now Microsoft is saying the same thing. And I'm not saying that, you know, at some point they might have issues or troubles, but they have a better track record than Foxconn does at this point. So this is all to say that through slow, patient, properly vetted planning, we're probably about to see some really high-quality job growth in that site without having to put billions of tax dollars into it. There are right ways and wrong ways to go about these things. Instead of, you know, $3 billion into one site, you could take that same pile of money and invest it across all 72 counties and economic development projects, which is exactly what Tony Evers has done since he was governor, is doing small business grants in all of those communities and help make sure that there are fewer vacant storefronts on the main streets all across Wisconsin. So there are right ways and wrong ways to deal with making decisions in the state capital. Here's another example of making decisions in the state capital where people did not exactly agree. And that was the legislature's, in the last session, their big overhaul of liquor laws. You'll recall that, you know, our liquor laws dated back to just after Prohibition ended. It set up a 3-tier system of brewers or distillers and distributors and then retailers. And it needed an update. I mean, from the time I was in the legislature, you know, 15 years ago, we knew it needed an update. It finally got done. But one group got left out, or at least they really felt left out in terms of their ability to sell alcohol. And that was wedding barn owners. And why was that? Well, I mean, the short, cynical answer is that wedding barn owners don't have a big lobbying core in Madison. The Tavern League has lobbyists, the brewers and distilleries, you know, the retailers, distributors, they all have lobbyists there working with those legislators to educate them on the bills and get them passed. And somewhere along the line, wedding barn owners felt like they got the short end of the stick and had far too many restrictions in terms of, you know, the alcohol sales that they could or could no longer do. Now they are suing. The lawsuit was filed in Trempealeau County Circuit Court, according to this article by Jesse O'Point in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And it says the liquor law overhaul violates 2 rights guaranteed in the state constitution, the right to earn a living and the right to equal protection. Now, the bill did pass, you know, in a bipartisan manner, overwhelmingly so, 21-11 in the Senate, 88-10 in the Assembly. But despite that reform, it does not necessarily mean they got it right. At least that's what wedding barn owners are saying. And now they're going to be asking a judge to weigh in on this. So we'll be watching that over the next several months as it works its way through the court system. All right, let's talk about the renewable energy portfolio in Wisconsin now and in the future. Coming up next, you're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A lot of Wisconsin farmers are caught between a rock and a hard spot. We need moisture. We don't need moisture now. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And Wisconsin's not alone. There's a lot of states right now that are struggling to try to keep the wheels rolling when it comes to planting. John Heinberg's market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, and he says there's certain benchmarks we'd like to meet by the middle of the month.
We're going to be pretty wet till the middle of May. It sounds like we got just a line of storms coming one right after the other here that could keep things fairly limited over the next couple of weeks. We'll see if that really pushes the market or not going forward. Biggest thing we'll have to watch is around the middle of the month. We want this crop in about 50% planted here by the middle of May. And then if that's not happening just because of planting delays, then we could really start seeing the market get a little antsy regarding the crop not getting in the ground or the crop not being as good as we want it to be.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Well, they're still apparently confident that farmers are going to get the crop in the ground. Markets are lower on a Wednesday morning start. Numbers on the way. Sorting out fact from fiction. That's exactly where Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested this growing season. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, says farmers are being approached with so many different products these days, it's important they get clear, correct information.
Because farmers are really getting bombarded with, you know, carbon farming, be able to improve soil health. But what does this really mean? It's kind of a big nebula. So we're really trying to say these indices are ones that farmers can use and rely on, and they have a relationship with soybean yield. And we've identified some of those. But the cool thing is now we're wondering what management strategies help alter or change those. So can we actually improve our soil health metrics? And one thing that we found in this initial data set is that we've seen actually long-term, and by long-term, I mean a minimum of 5 years of cover cropping, actually improve some of our soil health metrics. So that's important and exciting for farmers.
Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean researcher, taking Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars to the field. Follow the story at wisoybean.org. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 188. 40-pound block cheese also down a quarter of a cent at 183 and three quarters. Double A butter, that dropped 5 1/4 cents to 302 and a quarter per pound. This morning in Chicago, our June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 7 at 1950. July's up 2, 1928, 100 weight. Right now, December new crop corn down a penny, 487 and a half. November new crop beans down 5 1/2 at 1222 and a half, with the July new crop wheat 3 cents stronger, 645 and three quarters. Remember, while you're out doing spring planting chores, taking care of the garden, or just driving around, you can take us along. Go to thefarmwi.com and download our mobile app today. That's an update on the markets for a Wednesday. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms developing by mid to late afternoon today. Our high near 74 with wind north at 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers will drop down to 46. Tomorrow, clouds and a few showers in the morning. Some sunshine by later afternoon with a high tomorrow near 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver.
It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on.
Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
And we're back now with our climate check, a little weekly feature we do here on Up North News Radio with our friend Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks. We're going to talk about, you know, Wisconsin's energy portfolio in a little bit here and some of the things that we could have in another time, another place where, you know, other people were making decisions on behalf of Wisconsin. But we're going to start with a little national news first when it comes to the climate. And for this, we want to talk about some new rules that are out there from the federal government. But I want to set it up by saying, remember all those times that we thought there might be government shutdowns and, you know, defaulting on the nation's credit rating and things like that? Well, agreements get reached, and we don't often get into the details of them. But as part of a deal last year to raise the debt limit, Congress went along with the Biden administration in cleaning up some rules. And Melissa, at first it sounded kind of like a win-win. There'd be less red tape, but there would be a trade-off in terms of how these rules would take care of the environment before you get permits for, you know, things like highways and such. What impression did you get from all of that?
Yeah, you know, you know, I think that, you know, whenever we're talking about rules and regulations for government, you know, people hear, you know, oh, there's all this red tape. And ultimately what we want in terms of rules and regulations for government is not to stand in the way in progress. You want there to be safeguards, you want there to be protection, and you want things to make sense. And what we want to see here is to have these rules in place that the Biden administration wants to implement here, that are going to really speed up the process for clean energy and help really accelerate our progress on clean energy. And then kind of, you know, kind of maybe pump the brakes a little bit, though, on some other policies when it comes to how federal agencies are approving projects, when it comes to things like highways and oil wells, because we know that those have really damaging effects on the climate, and they have really harsh health impacts on low-income communities. So the goal is to have some of those projects, you know, get some more, have some more decision-making, make those projects, you know, have the agencies really weigh those a little bit more heavily and look at the long-term effects before approving those kinds of projects.
Yeah, that's a kind of, this is how Coral Davenport wrote about it at the New York Times, saying that the Biden administration last week released rules designed to speed up permits for clean energy while requiring federal agencies to more heavily weigh the damaging effects on the climate and on low-income communities before approving projects like highways, oil wells, power lines, things like that. You know, so for example, you might have a solar farm, you might have a wind farm, and that's great that it's generating something, but you need the power lines, you know, to get you know, the power to all the rest of us. And so in doing so, it's like, okay, we're going to streamline the process, but at the same time, we want to make sure where you're putting that power line, you know, isn't going to do harm to the climate or to certain communities. It all kind of sounded like a fair trade-off, and then along comes Joe Manchin, who on behalf of industry says, well, no, it can't be a win-win. We have to have everything our way, is definitely the impression I get from him.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Manchin, you know, is certainly, you know, a very, very good friend of the coal and gas industries. He has not been quite the champion we would want him to be of, I would say, all of the climate agenda that Democrats have been working so hard to advance for, you know, any number of reasons. So, you know, I would say it's unfortunate to see that he's going to be trying to block the rule because he's opposed a lot of the climate agenda. And is, you know, a big part of the reason that it took so long to get climate legislation passed in the Biden administration. So, you know, I as hard as President Biden and Democrats worked to get this legislation into place, you know, you don't want to see someone on the back end try to undo this progress, because a lot of work has gone into the Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisan infrastructure law, and we don't want to see anything done to roll back the progress that has been made. You know, we're finally making progress on addressing climate change, making, you know, meaningful advancements to expand renewable energy, you know, provide those tax incentives, expand wind and solar power, you know, get moving on electric vehicles. And, you know, if we are not able to, you know, kind of, you know, move those projects along at a good pace, you know, it's going to be difficult to carry out the Inflation Reduction Act in the way that everybody would like to see it carried out.
Yeah, to get the benefits, to get the jobs, to get, you know, the benefit to the climate. And look, President Biden is not going to talk about this. He's not going to say this in so many words. He got so much done those first 2 years of his term with the Democratic Congress. Got a lot done, but would have gotten so much more done if it hadn't been for Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, two people who, you know, certainly liked to talk as if they were Democrats, but were certainly anything but when it came to cozying up to big industry on behalf of whether it's, you know, coal and oil and gas for Manchin or financial services and other businesses for Sinema. So it's still that a lot got done, and Manchin was part of the negotiations to include, you know, streamlining the way that these federal licenses are handed out as part of the debt ceiling debate. But now he's turning around and threatening to lead a vote to undo any of these rules that the Biden administration's putting in, thinking that there's too much climate-friendly stuff in there. But, you know, even if he was successful in that, Melissa, I mean, they won't possibly get enough votes to override a veto from Biden. And so you wonder why Manchin even bothers. He's not running for another term. He's going to get a great 6-7-figure income, getting some job in the industry. You'd think he'd
just
kind of let this be.
Well, maybe this is part of that retirement plan.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Who knows? You know, I don't want to, you know, speculate on anyone.
You don't have to speculate. I will.
You know, maybe this is part of that retirement plan. It's just securing that future. But, you know, I think there's nothing that Republicans would love more than to see, you know, the implementation of the IRA slowed down, which is why it's so important that we continue to have the implementation of this move forward quickly, because as we've talked about so many times in the past, when people hear about it, the more they know about the policies that are in the Inflation Reduction Act, people love what is in it. They love the rebates. They love the public health benefits. They love the way that it will benefit low-income communities. All of the things they are happy about. So the more that we can move forward on implementation and do it quickly, the better we all are.
So let's talk about the ways that implementation is moving quickly in states other than Wisconsin. And we're going to look at a couple of our neighbors here, Minnesota and Michigan, because there are stories in the news about both of them. The energy portfolio in the state of Minnesota, where do you get your energy from? You know, once upon a time, it was like 100% coal pretty much. But now renewable sources like wind and solar are going to account for about 1/3 of Minnesota's power generation, according to a new report from the Clean Energy Economy Minnesota and Business Council for Sustainable Energy. Melissa, Wisconsin has a long ways to go to see the kind of progress that Minnesota's getting as far as the renewable portion of our energy portfolio.
You know, it is not for lack of effort from Governor Evers, from Democrats in the legislature, and from you know, so many of the partner organizations around the state, like Renew Wisconsin and Clean Wisconsin, and, you know, so many others that are working to accelerate our clean energy future. You know, really, there is one thing standing in the way of progress. As Taylor Swift would say, this is why we can't have nice things. And that is the legislature that is standing in our way. The Republican legislature, I should be very specific about. They are standing in the way of getting things done. What was noted, you know, what stood out to me, and I noticed in the article that we both read about the power generation in Minnesota, was that Minnesota's legislature, which they have a Democratic legislature now, they are currently considering ways, according to this reporting, to you know, hit their goals of being carbon free by 2040. They're looking at different permitting reform bills to make it faster and cheaper to approve new solar and wind projects and streamline the process for new transmission lines. They're also looking at support for geothermal energy and anaerobic digesters, which would create methane by breaking down organic material. So their legislature is looking to be part of the solution, and they are working with their governor to get things done because they know that this is important. And Democrats in the legislature in Wisconsin are ready to do that, but Republicans aren't.
Right. And so for folks wondering, well, how far off is Wisconsin? Well, Minnesota is at about 33% for wind and solar. And according to WISP Business, quoting figures from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, Wisconsin's renewable portfolio share is 11%, not the 33% that Minnesota has. There is a you know, a little bit of good news in there. One person from the Citizens Utility Board notes that solar energy, which was, you know, less than 1% of the energy mix, you know, just a couple of years ago, is going to be 10% by 2028. And so there is progress being made. It's just that we could make so much more if there weren't so many, you know, fossil fuel apologists sitting in the Wisconsin state capitol right now. You know, I'm sure they'd be chomping on cigars like the olden days if they could. All right, a little bit of time left to get to the one other story from Michigan, and this has to do with the wages for all the workers that are going to be putting up the wind farms and the solar farms of the future. And again, making sure that those are in-state workers as much as possible who are getting the best wage possible. And so Michigan, the Democrats who lead the state Senate, have included an expansion of the state's prevailing wage to apply to renewable energy projects. Melissa, what's the significance of that?
Yeah, I think this is something that we've, you know, heard from some of our friends of the show previously. You know, with Mandela Barnes on recently, also hearing from our friends in organized labor that they reached a deal with some of the major utilities in the state and signed a pledge with the utilities committing to use organized labor for their work. You know, anytime we can get that commitment to have the utilities and have these jobs that are going to be the clean economy jobs of the future, use organized labor, we know that they're going to be paying good wages, good benefits, that they're going to be safe, they're going to be done on time, they're going to be on budget, and we're going to know that those are going to be, you know, good jobs for the people of this state. So I think that's a real win for folks in Michigan if this bill ends up getting signed into law.
Yeah, again, just looking to avoid, you know, fly-by-nights, out-of-state crews that don't have the same kind of training. Yeah, they'll pay a lot less, but that's not really a savings of money if the work turns out to be shoddy. So why wouldn't you do it with the best labor possible to create the energy of the future? And that wraps up our climate check for this week. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you, too.
We will be back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The weather impacts everything, and the history of windmills includes using the weather. In this case, the wind, to help mill grain and pump water. The modern windmills that you see across Wisconsin today are often called wind turbines. These still use the wind, but now it's to produce electricity. And a new study shows that turbines can also lower the daytime temperature while keeping it warmer at night. The moving air protects crops from frost. It's a weather-ready fact. And Saturday, May 11th, is National Windmill Day. If you really want to celebrate, save June 5th through the 9th. Because it's Windmill Days in Baldwin, Wisconsin, a celebration of Dutch heritage and the windmills in the village. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine.
You know it's Bob Dylan, which you might not know, depending on how you think about it. This song is actually one of the first ever music videos. D.A. Pennebaker filmed Bob Dylan with the famous, you know, flashcard flips that he was doing for Subterranean Homesick Blues on this day in 1965 is when they shot that, which was very, I thought it was very imaginative, you know, for the time. I was a little bit young, but it was different.
I remember the In Excess homage at the end of one of their videos. They did the same thing, same background, using the cards. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And then, of course, some older person in my life saying, you don't know anything. I'm like, all right, I don't. I'm nine.
Imitation is flattery. Yeah. Deal with it. And sometimes it's plagiarism. But anyway, on this day in 1970, the Beatles released their 12th and final studio album, Let It Be. On this day in 1886, a pharmacist by the name of John Pemberton first sold a carbonated beverage that he named Coca-Cola and sold it as a patent medicine. So Coca-Cola was designed to be a medicine, this little carbonated beverage. Carbonated beverages were relatively new.
I always thought his name was John Coca-Cola.
No, sadly. And Pemberton soda, you know, never caught on because other people were going, no, it's Pemberton pop. No soda, no pop. And they couldn't decide, so they went with Coca-Cola.
And if you go to Texas, it's Pemberton Coke, and they're like, what kind of Coke? Pemberton Sprite, please.
The number one song in the country on this day in 1976 was a TV theme from John Sebastian.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket.
I like that when he said, you know, what's the show about? And he said, well, it's called Welcome Back, Cotter. And, you know, so the teacher's name is Gabe Cotter. And he realized there was really nothing that rhymed with Cotter. And so at first he thought they were going to make him put Welcome Back, Cotter into the lyrics. But instead it's just Welcome Back.
And it's a good song.
Could go mainstream. I love the song. Still do. Birthdays today. Let's see. Born on this day in 1940 was Ricky Nelson. The child TV star turned singer turned actor, teen idol. Was born this day in 1940, passed away way too soon back in 1985. And if you know the captain and Tennille, the captain's no longer with us, but Tony Tennille is 84 today.
Do that to me one more time. Once is never enough with a man like you.
That's another voice I could just listen to all day.
You know, I've said this before on the show. The captain's a cool name. Don't get me wrong. He wore a hat. It's a cool name. But his name was Daryl Dragon. I mean, that's so metal.
I know. He really could have made that work. But remember, this was kind of the yacht rock era.
Oh, yeah.
Which reminds me, I'm so excited to tell you, Greg, that I'm already working on the notes for Friday's show when we're kicking off Yacht Rock Fridays.
Oh, man.
There's going to be so much bumper music that's Yacht Rock. It's going to be smooth.
It's going to be lovely.
It's going to be so nice. Let's see. This was the anniversary of the birth of John Fred. He was born in 1941, passed away in 2005. Only a certain generation of 60s music fans would recognize the name. John Fred and his Playboy band had this hit in the 60s. Judy in the sky. John Fred, who'd been born this day in 1941. Born this day in 1951, and he's still with us. He's 73 years old today. From Earth, Wind, and Fire, Philip Bailey. A member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Songwriters Hall of Fame. The man's got a 4-octave vocal range and, of course, that distinctive falsetto. It's one of those you listen to as a young man, as I did, and you try and you go, no, that would really hurt me. That would cause damage if I tried to do that.
Ha! Oh, ow, ow.
Nope. You do it, Philip. It's just fine. Happy birthday, 73 years old. Happy birthday to Enrique Iglesias, who is 49 today. Baby, just give me a sign. And now that you're gone, I just want to be with you. Which reminds me, I didn't look up Julio Iglesias and find out, you know, he was born in 1943 and still with us. So 80 years old today, going to turn 81 this year. But Enrique is 49. On this day in 1984, the Soviet Union announced it was going to boycott the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. And on this day 2 years ago, the war in Ukraine was still relatively new. Bono and The Edge went to a subway station that had been converted into a bomb shelter and played an acoustic set there in support of Ukraine, which had been invaded by Russia months earlier. On the national day calendar for today, now this is National Receptionist Day, not to be confused with Administrative Professionals Day, which I think we had last week. So, you know, a receptionist could be an administrative professional, but an administrative professional is not necessarily a receptionist. Get it right, people. This one's a little confusing to me. It is Student Nurse Day. So all the nursing students out there, we tip our cap. But it's also School Nurses Day. And it kind of makes me wonder if somebody got confused and we ended up with two very different groups being celebrated today. So both you school nurses and you student nurses who are in school to become nurses, happy day to you. This is Donate a Day's Wages to Charity Day. I'm quickly doing the math and thinking, I don't know. But
they would be like, thanks.
Thanks for that day's wages. You must work in radio. This is Occupational Safety and Health Professionals Day. So the people who annoy you about, like, don't leave that ladder there, there's a reason they do those things. And so, you know, cut them a little slack today. This is National Iris Day. This is National White Lotus Day. This is National Coconut Cream Pie Day. And I do love a good coconut cream pie day. Yeah. It is a third shift workers day or night shift day. Night Shift, one of the best, most underrated movies.
Yes.
Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton.
Correct. And Shelley Long.
Shelley Long, that's right. It's a Donkey Appreciation Day for some reason. It's World Ovarian Cancer Day, World Red Cross Red Crescent Day. And finally, it is No Socks Day. But not here. We are a socks-wearing zone on the radio, as far as I can tell.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Rocky Laporte, who joins the show to talk about his big show in Wisconsin, and Jimmy Cuska joins me to talk sports.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.